Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mr. Span, and I want to give you guys a heads up on some of the audio issues that we were dealing with while recording episode 36 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. We're trying a new platform on Facebook where we can bring the show live to you guys on Facebook, but we were dealing with some technical issues as far as the audio was concerned. So the very first part of the episode, probably maybe the first 5 minutes of the show, the audio is a little bit funky. So I just want to give you guys a heads up. I did as much as I could with the audio on my end, but yo, it just kind of is what it is right now. But after the first 5 minutes, that audio starts leveling out. So just a heads up, and I hope you guys enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken.
On everything I love, it's we the best music. We the best over everything. Get money, more money.
Every time we come up, doors going up.
Check on me, know I got that nine on me. Play with it, it'll get religious. These shots will make your shirt holy. Say please, Lord, forgive a nigga. Acting up like Ben Stiller. Jury on me so fucking cold, I gotta wear it with a chinchilla. I ball on these fuck niggas. Bron, D-Wade, whip white like cocaine. Too dope, Rick James, I'm hard body, my flow sick. That eagle on me, no Mike Vick. I bobbin' weaving that pussy girl that I knock it out like Tyson. Say first round, face down, ass up, straight pound. Yeah, shawty, she know the deal, and that's every time that I come round. This big business, I come around. Smoking on that too loud. Give my dog about 1,220 minutes. He got
me. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 36 for the Beer and Chicken. And I'm here joined by the homeboys Vault Lockdown and the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people's fan.
What's good, people?
What's up, everybody?
I hope everybody is good. And we doing this shit live here on Facebook. Trying some new shit, man. Let me turn that shit off, though. Trying some new shit because that shit is loud as fuck in my ear. Right? And the fellas are saying they could barely hear, so I don't know if we're gonna really be rocking with this shit for too long. But yo, we here on Facebook, we doing it live, and this is episode number 36. But of course, before we get started and let y'all know everything that's going on here at Beer and Chicken, hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails, reply to us here. Let us know what you're thinking about, shit that we're talking about here on the show. Hit us up on a hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play those messages here on the show. And if you're watching the show live, and if you're on Facebook, you should know that we're live. If you're watching the show live, you can call into that hotline and you can chop it up with your boys here while we're doing the show. Also, hit us up on the Twitter streets. My name on there is Mr. Underscore Span. Cliff is DJ Neff 2, and the homeboy Walt Lockdown is, guess what? Walt Lockdown. That's his name on there. So go ahead and follow us all on the Twitter streets, man, and chop it up with your boys, talk that sports shit throughout the week. And also, go to our website, www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, you can watch replays of the show, you can vote in the polls, you can leave comments there, you can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course, we appreciate every dime over here, the Beer and Chicken Podcast Network. Well, yeah, something like that. Also, the Span Report Podcast Network store. You can go there, cop yourself some merch, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a hoodie, get yourself a long sleeve tee. It's getting cold outside, y'all, man. We got a winter weather advisory here in Michigan. Cliff already been telling us, man, they about to get like 13 feet of snow in Chicago, man. Like that boy over there looking weary right now, because he was like, man, I got to get the snowman, I got to get the snow blower, I got to get the salts, man. I got to get that man is about to hunker down. So, man.
There was no salt at the depot, man. They had like two pallets. It was like the whole front aisle was just nothing but snow related stuff.
And how I'd normally go.
I'm just saying. I mean, people are just going. Man, it's the thing is, it's about to get like a foot of snow.
Yeah.
And then the temperature is going to drop to, you know, negative 50. And man, if you ain't got no salt, your car is going to slide down to the fire hydrant.
Yeah, man. Like, it's going to be crazy. And then it's going to get cold during the rest of the week. Like, you know, like.
As if it hasn't been cold enough.
I mean, it's been all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But,
you know, like. Cold. Like, nobody should be outside cold is what I'm saying. Like, nigga, if you got a dog and your dog is outside, you should probably have your ass whooped for not bringing your dog inside cold. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. But other than that, man, what's been going on with you, though, Walt? What's been up with you, brother?
Fighting the cold.
Oh, quit being a bitch, man.
That's about it. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning fighting this weather every damn day. Other than that, man, waiting on the Super Bowl.
I hear you.
That's it, man. Waiting on the Super Bowl.
Speaking of Super Bowls, man. So, you know, we guys had the Super Bowl, you know, the Beer and Chicken Super Bowl Pick'em Challenge, man. And we had one guy who almost won. He almost won. As a matter of fact, let me pull this up. I got it on this phone. He almost got us.
Is that the work issue or that's yours? I just ask him.
No, this is mine. This is mine. You see that this is mine. But let's see. He had the Saints over the Eagles. He won that one. He had the Rams over the Cowboys. He got that one. He had the Chiefs over the wait. I take that back. He had the Colts over the Chiefs, and he lost that one. He also had the Chargers and the Pats, and he had the Chargers beating the Pats. So he lost that one.
So, go figure.
Yeah. But he did have the Saints beating, and he had the Saints beating the Rams. He lost that one. He ultimately had the Saints and the Chargers in the Super Bowl with the Saints taking the whole thing. So, AB, you was the closest, but you wasn't close enough.
Wasn't closer than me.
So check this out, man. We didn't really talk about a consolary, like a consolation prize. But check this out, man. We're going to give you a T-shirt. You get a T-shirt for the consolation prize. You don't get the two free things, man, because you could have picked anything you wanted about at the store for the free. But we'll give you a T-shirt, man, for your participation in almost winning or coming the closest to winning. I mean, you didn't win, but we gonna look out for you, AB. So go ahead and hit me up in the email, man. Let me know what your address is so that we can go ahead and send you that free T-shirt, man. Tell me which T-shirt you want, and that will be headed your way real soon, man. Let us know when you get that. But yo, man, Cliff. Other than the snow and shit that you've been dealing with today, what else been going on with you, man?
Last night, I DJ'd this pool party.
Pool
indoor
party.
Pool party, bro.
Okay.
Pool party. This couple, man, they got an indoor. I am talking about indoor heated pool, and of course the room is heated, but the pool is heated. Mm. It looked like you remember Biggie's Juicy video where everybody was in the pool. That's what it looked like, man. We was partying from 8 o'clock. I didn't get home to 4. Mm. It was all. I'm still hurting right now, man. And
your wife lets you do this?
Once again,
this man face queen. All frowned up.
Queen, let me. You need to be in my house for a day. You wouldn't ask that question. But no, man. I mean, it was a blast, man. And the thing is, last night when I got there about 6:30. It started snowing then. Dude, when we got done, I'm gonna say it was about 3:15. Dude, the roads were so bad. It was an oak lawn, man. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it took, the streets are horrible, man. But I had a blast, man. And they want to do it again next month. I was like, okay. Okay, I'm down, but I'm tired in a mug, man. When I get done with this, two fingers, I'm going to sleep, man.
Yeah, out of here too, man.
I'm saying, both of you niggas on here talking about how tired y'all is. Like, come with the energy, my niggas. Good God. It's Sunday.
It was a party last night. I was at a birthday party last night, man.
Y'all sound like the old niggas at the club. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, you know, I was at the party, man. You know what I'm saying? I can't kick it like I used to. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got it in me.
I ain't saying that. That ain't what I don't get out
of it. I'm just saying, man. Y'all out here like, man, I'm sleepy, man. I got to go to bed, man. Come on, man. It's 8 o'clock. Y'all niggas sound old.
Put like this. I got home at 4:30. I went to bed within 10 minutes. And guess what? I got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. They get up every day at the same time at 6 o'clock.
You knew
guess
that.
Guess who got like 2 hours of sleep?
You knew that, yeah. Nigga. Like that, whose fault is that? You knew what time your kids get up, nigga.
I'm not saying it's my fault. I'm just saying I didn't get no sleep. You know, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, man. I hear you. Man, I ain't did nothing. I've been chilling.
So because you were chilling, you know what I'm saying?
I got outside, I shoveled some snow, cleaned off the cars, you know what I'm saying? Did some laundry, you know, did some website maintenance. That's about it, man. Caught myself trying to catch up on my shows, man. I was watching Love & Hip Hop, man. I've been watching Marriage Boot Camp Hip Hop Edition, man. I'll be watching that terrible, terrible, terrible fucking show. But other than that, man, I ain't been doing shit this weekend, man. I've been recovering.
I use my new snowblower, man.
Okay.
Get you a snowblower that's self-propelled, man. God put that on the planet for a reason. I'm telling y'all right now. Sweetness. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
All right.
It's fantastic. Oh.
All right. Let's get into this show, man. Let's get into the shit that we came here to talk about. We got some sports topics to hit up and give it our, you know, hot take tomfoolery. Yo, Cliff, man, what you got for us tonight?
So, speaking of having conversations with people, last night when I got to my little gig, a couple of the guys that was there, we were standing around talking about sports, of course. And this one dude, he was such an avid James Harden is the best player in the NBA. And I said, well, you got to help me out with something. I said, you know, do you really think that they're calling the game fair with his traveling? So he's like, man, everybody's doing it. So, you know, what's the difference? Blah, blah, blah. I said, man, that ain't cool. So one guy, he pulled up an article, and another guy pulled up another article, and I pulled up an article. This article comes off of The Loop, which is golfdigest.com, which is hilarious. But in this article, it says James Harden is so used to traveling that he can't even admit this blatant travel was a travel. They were referring to when he did the double step back to win the game.
Right.
So I pulled this article up. I mean, this was the headline. And it says, while many star NBA players turn getting away with traveling into an art form over the years, few have done it with the sheer frequency and efficiency of James Harden. The man is the master of the moonwalk, the colossus of carry, the sultan of step, the duke of double dribble. And the guy travels a lot, and yes, so do a lot of NBA players, but none as blatantly as Harden. His latest submission into the traveling walk of fame came against Utah Jazz with a double step back three to get a cheap foul move. Okay, so when I pulled this up last night, this one individual, this dude says, man, if they're not going to call it, it's equal to, you know, it's not a crime until you get caught. I said, that's not true. they're just not calling. The crime is being done right in front of them, and they're just selecting who they're going to call to travel on. That is my argument, because Steph Curry did the same move last week or week before last, and they, before he got the shot off, they called traveling. Okay. I am not the biggest Steph Curry fan when it comes to his role in being an MVP. I think he's going to go down as one of the best 3-point shooters ever. But as MVP, I don't give him that that all around player. Neither do I give James Harden that. But it's not fair that they call it on Steph and they don't call it on James Harden. So my thing with James is this, man. You know, I don't know if they're trying to formulate James to be the next, I don't know what you want to call him, you know, big deal, where they're going to just kind of like, you know, give a side eye to these things that he's doing, specifically traveling. And when it comes to dribbling, that hesitant thing that he does where he'll bring the ball up and it'll be a second before he dribbles. It's just too much stuff that he's doing that, to me, does not there's no equal calling with the refs, because they're going to call on everybody else. So James Harden might be a fantastic shooter, but for his role and for his team, he's not setting the right example. Another thing is, if you think that he's an MVP player, he shouldn't be traveling. He shouldn't be traveling, period. I'm not saying LeBron doesn't travel, Westbrook, but he has taken, just like this article said, he has taken the whole science around trying to get away with an extra step to the next planet, man, the next planet. And, you know, these people who like Harden, they just, like, think it's okay. They really, like, people think it's okay that Harden is doing this traveling thing. So, you know, I know we've probably touched on this just a little bit in the past, but my question
a little
is
bit. Right. Nigga, we had a whole episode dedicated to this nigga and his traveling.
but I mean, my take on his MVP ticket should be eliminated. It should be eliminated. I'm sorry, you should not be allowed to be in the running for MVP if your way of getting in is by cheating and getting away with it.
Well,
that's me.
Here's the thing, man. Does he travel quite a bit? Does he get away with it quite a bit? Absolutely. He's doing what so far the league has allowed for him to do. Does it make it right? Absolutely not. And I think for, you know, for, like, I guess what we would call ourselves now, old head, you know, basketball watchers and shit, it's infuriating to kind of watch some of the rules just be disregarded in the game. And he continues to get away with it. I think, you know, like saying he didn't deserve to be MVP, though, I think that's a step a bit too far. I think the dude has, even if, like, I know we know he travels, right? But he ain't traveling every fucking time he's coming down the floor. Like, I think this, at a certain point, it becomes a thing where, like, the more egregious things that we see get amplified, and we kind of pump up those few times that we do see that, and like, hey, man, how did y'all not call that? Because it's blatant. You know what I'm saying? But I think it happens far less. And I don't know if we're actually sitting up watching. How often are you really sitting up watching Houston Rockets games? You know what I'm saying? Like, how often are we watching their games to where we can say, well, he doesn't deserve to be MVP because, yeah, I saw him on maybe 4 or 5 occasions because he was played on ESPN. It was on Fox News. Yeah, he walked like a motherfucker on this play. So, I mean, I think it kind of goes into, like, unless you can sit up and say that you watched every Houston Rockets game this year, and you can like kind of, you know, say, well, this happens in every game all the time. I don't know if I would say so. I don't know if I would go so far as to say the dude doesn't deserve the MVP that he got. I don't know. I don't agree with that.
No. And I know this is another topic as far as if he deserved that past MVP, but he didn't deserve the past MVP. They fucking robbed Westbrook. Nobody fucking averages a triple-double 2 years in a row and don't get the MVP. Go ahead, Walt.
Agree, they robbed Westbrook. I agree with you on that. As far as James, I just think, to be honest with you, the whole league has implemented that that Euro step, man. And James Harden just figured out a way to implement that Euro step on a jump shot rather than a layup or a dunk all the time. And a lot of times it might look like he traveled, and a lot of times he might get away with an extra step. But like Antoine said, that's not every time down the court. The fact of the matter is the man mastered the art of the goddamn Euro step, and people can't stop it. Period. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just what it is, man. Anytime you got somebody that's doing something on that level and take something to that level, you're going to get the backlash. You're going to get the hate about it. But he ain't the only one that's not getting not getting called for traveling on some of those steps. You know, that's league wide. So
I'm not knocking the Euro step. Everybody, the Euro step has been accepted in the NBA as legal. I'm past that. I'm talking about when he's at the top of the key and this dude has he might do a little thing and shake somebody, break their ankles. This was last year. He did a play. He was playing the Bulls. He shook this dude and he walked backwards four steps just to make sure he was behind the 3-point line. It is shit like that, man. You know, and it's not. And guess what? There was nobody else there.
Here you go, Cliff. What I'm going to compare it to is before Allen Iverson came into the league, Tim Hardaway was the king of the crossover. And then Allen Iverson came into the league, and Allen Iverson crossover was different. Now, what was so different about Allen Iverson crossover? He carried on that motherfucker a lot.
No.
You know what I'm saying? He carried on it a lot.
Yeah.
And that became the same thing as James Harden's Euro step with the travel that, you know, everybody, but he carried on it. Why? Because they couldn't stop it. Period. They couldn't stop it. The ref wasn't calling it. They couldn't stop it. So they, you know, people just start crying. He carrying it. It's the same thing, man.
Although I do agree with that particular analogy using Tim Hardaway and Allen Iverson. However, I do think that there are times where James Harden just gets away with blatant fucking travels. I'm not saying that James Harden, like, I mean, it's apparent. It's so far gone now to the point where it's like it's a joke. People like make memes about it. People make, you know, comedic videos about the shit. Everybody knows that James Harden gets away with those travels. But I also think that those more egregious actions tend to kind of like. I don't know. I think they're overrepresented in the way that we kind of look at James Harden's game. Cause like when he does do one of those over, like those egregious fucking travels, it's everywhere. Everybody knows about it. We see the replays all over the place. It's on fucking First Take. It's on fucking Around the Horn. It's on like all the shows on Fox or whatever. Cause I don't watch Fox shit, but it's on all of that shit. And we see it replayed over and over again to the point where like, yo, Cliff now, like, yo, this nigga didn't deserve no MVP. He be traveling all the time.
I do not think that
Cliff won't the man MVP, no, man. You welcome with the Cliff on blood,
man. Here's the thing, man. I don't care who it is. If you know what, if anybody was doing it, I don't have anything against Harden. Play the game the way it should be played. And if you have to travel the way you do to succeed, then you don't deserve it. He has traveled in so many situations that were game time calls. And it always went his way. He has not gotten called travel because, you know, it's 3 seconds left. They ain't even calling on this man. But I hear you with the comparisons with Tim Hardaway and Iverson. Iverson created the rule in the NBA where you can't put your hand underneath the ball. So Iverson put his hand on the side of the ball. When it comes to span, you said that if you watch all the Houston Rockets game, that's the only way you can determine if he deserves the MVP.
That's not what I was saying. I was saying that if we're going to talk about his traveling and whether or not he gets away with this traveling shit all the time, like I'm saying that the times that we've seen James Harden travel egregiously, those are the ones that get amplified. And then if you're not watching those Houston Rockets games, you're not seeing enough of what he's doing to say that, well, he doesn't deserve the MVP. I'm just saying that those get overrepresented in the overall scheme of mm-hmm. observing mm-hmm. this game. That's all I'm saying.
Understood. So let me give you a very good comparison, and I'm going to give you one, Walt, because this is going to help you understand where I'm coming from. Steph Curry, Westbrook, how come we don't see them at the final seconds traveling to win the game? Now we're talking about people who are not necessarily egregiously or blatantly traveling to win games. We don't hear that about the guys who actually are more of all-around ball players than James Harden.
And how many times did that happen, Cliff?
What?
How many,
with Harden?
Yeah, how many times have it happened?
This year alone, it's like four times. This year alone, okay?
Hold on. He's made four game-winning plays on travels this year.
Yes!
Okay.
Yes!
I doubt that seriously, yes, but
I
want to
see the footage.
That ain't hard to find. But let me just make my point real quick.
I think you're kind of making mine right now.
Westbrook. Westbrook ain't in this conversation. Why? Because he don't need to travel to be an MVP. Steph Curry don't need to travel to be an MVP. This dude is traveling and he's in the talks. He shouldn't be in the conversation. I'm sorry. He shouldn't be in the conversation. Just because you put up 40 doesn't mean that you should be an MVP. I'm sorry. And let's throw in the traveling with it? No, dude. No. These guys ain't doing that. And they, to me, have more. That's more of a reason why they should be in the talks. Period. Period. Nobody says, oh, man, Westbrook travels, you know, to win the game. You have, well, anybody? Come on. Interrupt me on that one.
I haven't heard anybody say Westbrook travels to win the game until just now. I hear the thing about Westbrook traveling. Like, I'm with you on that. No, I'm with you on the traveling. He travels. Everybody knows this, right? I'm just saying that I think the times that we see of Westbrook traveling, I think we see it because it's so egregious. We see it all over the place. And because we see it all over the place, it's a little bit overrepresentative of what he's actually doing in the game. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Harden. You said Westbrook. You were saying you meant Harden, though?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay. No, I understand what you're saying, Span. But all I'm saying is you have other guys who people are voting to be MVPs who don't have this problem, but they still put Harden at the top of the damn pyramid. That just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. You know, when you got a guy who's averaging a triple double, who's not even in the talks of these travels, why the hell is Harden looked at as the king? I don't get it. Help me understand that.
Maybe because Paul George been balling out in OKC this year. I mean, if we're going to keep it a buck, man, like Harden been out there balling and Chris Paul ain't been there. And I think that might be why you aren't hearing as much Russell Westbrook being MVP this year is because Paul George been balling. Like that's just how I see it, man. Like if Paul George wasn't there balling, you'd have been hearing the same story about Russell Westbrook being the MVP, like he was the prior probably, 2 years that before he got there. Like everybody thought. Say that again.
Probably so. You're probably right.
Yeah, like before Paul George got there, man. Like everybody was like, "Yo, man, Russell Westbrook out there balling, and he ain't had nobody else to ball with him." But he got PG there now. Like, and right now, James Harden been trying to take Houston or carry them on his back because Chris Paul ain't there.
Paul George was there when Russell had a triple dizzle. That's all I'm saying.
He was there, but guess what? Russell Westbrook didn't win the MVP that year either. Paul George only been there 2 years. The year that Russell Westbrook won that MVP, Paul George wasn't there.
The next year, Russell averaged a triple-double. Paul was there. He was very there.
He could be there. What did I just say before that? Paul George is balling out. He could be there all he wants. Paul George is balling out this year. He could be there all he wants. It's like, shit, if he had Carmelo Anthony there, Carmelo Anthony ain't give him shit. Carmelo Anthony was there, though. You know what I'm saying?
And guess what? Paul ain't traveling.
Hey, man, we got to stop riding James Harden, man. I'm tired of talking about this nigga, man.
Oh, why he got ugly gym shoes?
You say what?
That's why he got ugly gym shoes.
Who, Paul George?
James Harden.
Oh.
don't like somebody, he go hard, don't he? He go down to the shoes. He's like, that's why your shoes ugly.
That's why your shoes ugly.
Yo, Walt, man, what you got for us tonight, man?
Be careful what you wish for, football fans. For so long, everybody cried about, oh, you shouldn't make that call. Let them make the play on the field. Let the game be decided on the field. They don't feel that way. Yeah, I'm talking about your aints. That's what I'm talking about. Why you scrunching your face up over there? Yo, didn't you pick them?
I picked them, but I ain't no fan of them.
So they yours for right now. Let's go. But anyway. No. So they yours for right now. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, everybody cried about it, but now it cost them a game. The refs let them play and let it be decided on the field, and it cost them a game. So now the NFL is in talks and thinking about letting replay on the pass interference call in the last 2 minutes of the game if necessary. So with that being said, what about all the teams that didn't get those replay calls? You know, like that if you're going to do it, and I understand it should have been done. I think it should have been done. Why not be able to replay something if it's the outcome of a major game in the last 2 minutes of the game? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it should have been done because I can specifically remember, you know, a lot of teams getting put out of the playoffs over it was a catch, it wasn't a catch, or we couldn't review this pass interference, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. So the Saints got to eat this one, man. They got to eat this one. In the NFL, you know, if they was going to do something about it, they should have did that right then at the end of that game when that call was missed, and, you know, when they had a chance to, they could have reviewed that, man, and saved everybody all the trouble and all this. Now all these conspiracy theories going around about the referees of the game had ties to Southern California and blah, 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 blah. See what I'm saying? Man, they got to eat this one, man. Like, it is what it is, man. So what y'all think of? Y'all think they should leave the rule the way it is?
No.
Like, not, or should they change it and let the technology take its course, man?
I think they should have been allowed for challenges to be had in the final 2 minutes of the game. Like that,
I agree.
It never made sense to not allow a team to challenge within the last 2 minutes. And if you're not going to allow a team to challenge within the last 2 minutes, if there's a questionable call, everybody who's watching that game knows that shit was questionable. So technically, you know, usually when there's a questionable call that happens on the field within the last 2 minutes, it's usually up to the officials up in the box or some shit. They gotta call for a review or whatever else. Sometimes the NFL gets in its own way by, for one, not allowing for them to challenge those plays within the last 2 minutes. But two, when they do fuck up, instead of owning it, they try to we got to let this ride out. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of just like, yo, we got to fix this now, they err on the side of we going to let this ride out. And they end up fucking a team like the Saints by letting the shit ride out. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of going ahead and letting even the referees, yo, we might need to take a second look at this. I think it never makes sense because the game is on the line then. Like, those last 2 minutes, and you understand the situations. Everybody understands the situations, man. I think it's been time for them to allow, like, the coaches and whomever. If they still got challenges available with 2 minutes left in the game, they should still be able to use the challenges that they have available left to them. And on a pass interference call, for it not to be reviewable or anything like that, hey, man, like, shit, we've seen it happen time and again. Like I said, I go back to the Lions against the Cowboys in the playoffs, man. Like, yo, we should have been advancing in that fucking game. And what happened? We got fucked. You know what I'm saying? So it's happened on more than one occasion. And you don't want it to keep happening if people are going to start losing faith in the game. They already started losing faith in the game when it comes to the refereeing. So, hey, man, fix it. This is your opportunity to fix it.
And not only do they just say, let's just ride it out, let's just ride it out. They tell you the next day, oh, yeah, we screwed that call up. But
which is pointless,
ain't nothing we can really do about it. You know?
Yeah, like doing that is pointless because when you do that, like, yeah, we fucked up. Sorry. Like, what does that do for the team that was on the tail end of that, on the receiving end of that? Like, nigga, we don't get nothing out of that. We don't get any fucking.
You just took some guys one chance to make a damn Super Bowl away from them because you couldn't get the damn call right. You know, like it's.
Yeah, we don't get anything out of that, so it makes no sense.
Okay. So, when it comes to instant replay, in the NBA, let's talk facts. For example, the only thing that they can review is a rule, okay? Not a judgment call. They can't review that was a foul, so we gotta give him two shots. That ain't the way it works. Same thing in the NFL. If there should have been a call, they're not going to review a judgment call. They review rules. So even if they would have said, y'all got to review that, they're not going to come back and say yes during the game and say that was pass interference. That ain't the way it works. I understand what y'all saying, but that's not the way it works. Now, can they fix that is the question. Can they say, you know what, let's start reviewing the calls like you're saying with, you know, the Cowboys, you say Cowboys, Lions, whoever it is, and plays like what happened with the Saints and the Rams and start saying, you know what, fellas, yes, that was defensive pass interference. Should they do that? Yeah, of course. But the way the system is set up is not like that. So, unfortunately, unless there are going to be some humongous rule changes to the instant replay, regardless the time in the game, I understand on the 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, everything is reviewable. The rule, like you're – because remember, there was no flag. You guys are saying, oh, man, they gotta review that. There was no call, so there's nothing to review. There's nothing to review. So it is very unfair. Walt just went away.
Oh, did he?
Hold on, let me
see if I can pull him back. Yeah, I don't know where he went.
But no, man, I mean, when it comes down to it, the instant replay, I think, is still in its infancy. So they have some things they have to really figure out because, like you said, the team that goes home, they're going to go home feeling like they got duped. So, you know, in time, will they change it? I think that's just something that we have to wait for. You know, I agree with Walt. They just got to eat that and say, you know what? You know, I don't – Span, you might agree with me on this. My coaches in high school, they always told us, never let the ref determine the game.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
They'll never let the ref determine the game. So they allowed the officiating to make that decision for them. So guess what? I don't feel bad for them. You know what? Just like the Bears lost because we got a sucky kicker. You know, so you gotta
he got
really
blocked, man. He got blocked.
We got a sucky kicker.
He got blocked, but, man. Somebody got their hand on that ball.
But no, man, don't allow the ref to determine the game because this is what happens if it don't go your way. So, Walt, you're right. They got to eat it. And they got to come back next year. And they got to beat the Rams by 30. If not, this is what happens.
Well, yeah, you know what? I don't think – well, a couple things. Like, I think everybody's kind of in agreement that they got to eat it. Like, at this point, there's really no recourse for it. I know, like, folks are, like, doing fucking lawsuits and – senators are going before the, you know, United States Senate talking shit about it. It's like, all right, man, we get it. Y'all lost. It was fucked up. Everybody believes y'all got hosed. But at this point, there's really nothing else to be done about it. You got to eat it going forward next year. Hopefully, like, there's a rule change that fixes this particular situation. You know, and that's the thing that I think, you know, a lot of folks who have been on the tail end of some fucked up shit just got to kind of eat. Like, shit. Going back to the Lions, man, the motherfucking catch rule with Calvin Johnson, like that was a fucking touchdown, and they took that shit away from him. Now we don't know what a catch is no more. You know, like there's certain things, man, we're like, yo, okay, so we got holes on this one. Hopefully they fix it going forward and we move on from there. But yeah, as far as the Saints having any sort of recourse or whatever, nah, they don't. They don't this year.
I got a really good example of how the instant replay didn't work when they did review it. This goes for you, Span. The White Sox. When that homie, I forgot his name, the pitcher, had a perfect game, the last out of the game. The ball was the grounder. They threw it to first. The dude was out. He was out like it was clear as day. They called that dude safe, and they an instant replay in the MLB is done in New York.
Yeah.
They reviewed that play and said that man was safe. The ball was in the glove a second before he got there. And they claimed him to be safe. So once again, it's unfortunate because they just robbed him from being in the history books. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely if it comes down to once again allowing the refs to determine your outcome, boy, you better have sent that check before that game. That's all I got
to
say.
Yeah, you definitely don't want the refs determining the outcome of the game, but also you do want the refs to get the shit right. And I think
that's what they get paid for.
And I think that's pretty much what most folks are really just asking for. Like, hey man, like even as far as like whether or not it's a judgment call, like, hey man, that's a fucking pass interference. Everybody can see that's a pass interference. Get the fucking call right. And if you get the calls right, then folks aren't necessarily questioning the fucking residences of the referees in the game and whether or not it's some, you know, some, I don't know, some sort of, you know, allegiances to teams and all that other shit. Hey, get the calls on the field right. And I think that's what most fans are really asking for when it comes to the officiating of the game. But, yo, man, moving back into the arena, basketball. I came across this story this week, man. Figured you guys would be a little bit interested in it, especially the nigga Cliff, because Cliff has been talking about Luke Walton for quite some time now. You know, the nigga Cliff been salty about Luke Walton. He's a terrible coach, and apparently...
I ain't salty. I'm not salty.
You've been salty, I'm man. Not salty. You've been a little salty.
You know he sucks.
You've been throwing a whole lot of salt his way, man. You got more salt for Luke Walton than you do for your own damn driveway right now, man. That's real talk. So check this out. I'm going to read this story here. This comes out of SportsIllustrated.com. It says the NBA trade deadline is... wait a minute. This ain't what the fuck I was asking for. God damn it, Google. You've been fucking your boy up lately, man.
He trying to hate. That's what you get for hating on me.
That's what I get. But here's the story I had right here. It says this is actually out of CBS Sports. It says LeBron James may be out of the lineup, but that doesn't mean he isn't thinking about the future of the Los Angeles Lakers. On the Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective podcast this week, ESPN's Jackie McCullen reported that there's a lot of tension in that building and that James's camp would rather see the Lakers replace Luke Walton as the team's head coach. There's a lot of tension in that building, McCullen said. A lot of tension in that building, and I think, oh, shit.
The next 3 weeks will determine the course of direction of the Lakers for the next three.
I hate that. I fucking hate that. Don't start shit when I ain't tell you to start. I hate that. But anyway, it says Luke Walton, even though Jenny Buss came out very strongly and said, I want Luke to be here, I back him 100%. But then also made the point that has to be made, and that shit. Who wrote this? Ugh, I ain't reading that. Says McCullen admits that James himself made such claims to the front office, but his camp believes that they would be in the team's best interest to part ways with Walton. James has missed the last 15 games and has already been ruled out of Sunday's matchup with the Suns with a moderate groin strain that he suffered during the team's Christmas Day win against the Golden State Warriors. Walton is in his third season with the Lakers as head coach after serving as an assistant under Steve Kerr while with the Warriors. During Walton's time with the franchise, he's accumulated an 86-127 record and is coming off a campaign in which Los Angeles won 35 games with a young roster. Walton has led the Lakers to a 25-24 mark through the 28-19 season thus far after dealing with several significant injuries. It's unclear when James will return to the court, but it's been made clear that he isn't willing to do so until his groin is 100% healed. Prior to going out of the lineup, James put together averages of 27, 8, and 7 while shooting 35% from beyond the arc. Now, Cliff, go ahead, man. Cook, I know you want to talk about Luke Walton. Listen, maybe getting the boot about the Los Angeles Lakers, man. What you thinking about that right now?
Me and LeBron are some smart human beings, is all I'm saying. I mean, I don't have to sit here and, like, you know, say that, because me and LeBron, that's my man. He understands that. Guess what? Luke Walton, guess what? I bet you didn't choose Luke Walton as your coach on 2K. Because Luke Walton is trash.
I can't pick my coach on 2K. Right now, I'm still stuck with Fred Hoiberg. I'm salty with him because he cost us a game on there, man. So yeah, I can't pick. I wish I could.
You need to update your 2K.
Nigga. I need to get past his season so I can make some. I can go to the general manager. Like, hey, man, get this nigga up out of here.
Listen, man. When LeBron said he was going to LA, the first thing I said was what? He is going to get rid of Luke Walton, period. Luke Walton will not be the coach for the Los Angeles Lakers while LeBron is there. Luke Walton was trash with the ball in his hand on the court, and he was trash without the ball, okay? And guess what? I don't knock anybody whose father was a legend. So when it comes down to Luke Walton, all this is coming about because of his dad. He's a Hall of Famer. And Luke Walton is so far from being a Hall of Famer, he might be a Hall of Famer in the Suck League, in the S League. We're going to call it the S League, the Suck League. You know what I'm saying? But LeBron's right. They're not going to win a championship with Luke Walton drawing up plays.
They weren't going to win a championship anyway with the squad that they had. Like, let's just be real with
that. Of course, because they got your boy Ball. You know, they got your boy
Ball. That's not my boy. That's not my boy. Let's make that shit 100%
clear. They got Ball. Hey, Walt, we know Spag can't stand the Ball daddy. He can't stand
that's not my boy. But here's the thing. I can't stand a daddy. I just wish he shut the fuck up. And he has. To a large degree, he has shut the fuck up. We ain't heard a whole hell of a lot of LeVar Ball stories lately. And I think Lonzo Ball got, you know, the brunt of a lot of that shit because his daddy wouldn't shut the fuck up. But, real talk, though. Like, here's the thing, man. When we start talking about coaches and whether or not coaches are Hall of Fame worthy and all this other shit, man. Look, LeBron James won a championship with Tyronn Lue as his head coach in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody was, like, looking at at Tyronn Lue like, yo, man, he's a great coach. He got great coach potential. We going to be looking at him as a championship NBA coach. Like, nobody was saying that. So, I'd even go so far as to say with same thing about Doc Rivers before he got to the Celtics and he had that big three there. Nobody was saying Doc Rivers was a fucking great coach until he got those three, the big three there. And then all of a sudden, Doc Rivers is a great motherfucking coach. Same thing with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson wasn't a great coach until Phil Jackson proved he can win multiple championships with multiple teams with multiple Hall of Famers. And I'm not even, I see you over there with you, like the eye rolling and all that other bullshit, but I'm not even comparing him to them. I'm saying that, like, yo, man, the dude was a young coach. He had an opportunity to go coach the team that he used to play for. And before LeBron James got there, it wasn't a whole hell of a lot for him to coach. So, like, the idea that because he's Luke Walton, he just sucks because he's Luke Walton is bullshit. He had a bullshit roster, dude. He had a bullshit roster. And right now they floating around 500 with LeBron James out the last 15 games. So, I mean, I don't know if I would say the dude is terrible. He's probably just not the coach for that squad.
You are comparing other coaches who were much better ball players than Luke Walton. Doc Rivers is a freaking legend.
Doc Rivers was, okay. Come on, man. Stop. Don't start elevating Doc Rivers in his ball playing days, man. Stop it. Don't do that. Nobody was like, yo, man, I want Doc on my squad, nigga. Don't do that. Doc wasn't even the third dude on his team in Atlanta, nigga. Stop it.
Doc Rivers was more of an impact on the court than Luke Walton.
He was a role player, nigga. Doc Rivers was a role player, the same as Luke Walton. Most of your great coaches tend to be role players. Like, that's the thing. Like, your great coaches tend to be role players. None of the dudes that were like all-time great players also were all-time great coaches, with the exception of maybe Larry Bird. Larry Bird was a really good coach for the Indiana Pacers when he was coaching. But that was like the anomaly. He wasn't the motherfucking rule. He was kind of like the exception to that. And I think Walt just like kind of blacked out on us. Where the fuck did he go? Hey, Walt, man, where you at?
I see him.
I don't. I see a black box.
I see Walt.
You see Walt.
Walt, do something. I can tell Span what you're doing.
What the fuck, man?
You waving.
I don't see shit. Hold on, man. I don't know what the hell's going on with his shit. Because he got two different boxes going on here now, man. I don't know. Let's try this again.
There you go.
I don't see him, man. I see a black box.
You got to start agreeing that Luke Walton sucks and you won't see no black box.
Nah, dead ass. I don't see this nigga, man.
Can you hear him?
I can't hear nothing either.
Walt is perfect to me right now.
Well, that don't do us no fucking good if I can't see him. Shit. All right. Hey, Walt, man, hang up and call back or something. Because you got two things up here, man, and I don't see you on either one of them. Hang up and call back. But we're about to get ready to get on up out of here. But before we do, of course, y'all know what we do every time we do.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Yo, Cliff, man, what you want to wing it on tonight?
I'm winging it on. I probably said something about this last year. It's funny, I get to say that I said something on our podcast a year ago. Fantastic. So today was the first winter workout for my son as far as baseball, where they have at the high school, they got a huge indoor facility. It's crazy. And the kids go there every week to start conditioning for baseball, right?
Yeah.
Parents, get your kids. Don't drop them off because they bad as hell and allow somebody else to just take on your problems because you don't want to deal with it. If your kids say, I don't want to play baseball, I don't like baseball, don't make them play baseball. Right? Like, the kid is out. His kids out there, man, they sitting on the turf like this. They could care less about getting in the ready position and pointing your shoulder right when you throw and everything. Man, you know, I take I take it very seriously, whatever my son wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. So if your kid tells you they don't want to play his sport, don't force them to do it, because you're wasting your money and your time and somebody else's time. They could be, you know, spending that energy towards somebody else's child to help them, you know, improve in their craft. So I don't know if anybody else is feeling me on that, but I definitely, that's my win, man. That's my win.
All right. Yo, Walt, welcome back, my nigga.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, I swear to God, man,
I couldn't see nothing, man. It was a straight black box.
I can't see Cliff now, but I can hear him, so it's all good. Let me go and get my wing over, man. Check it out. The question was, would he make a difference? The question was, would he make a difference, and would he come back healthy enough to make a difference? I don't know what y'all been watching, but God damn it, if Boogie Cousins ain't been balling his ass off. Listen, man, somebody said something on TV. They asked a question. I forget who it was. I think it was on ESPN. They asked, can the Eastern Conference All-Stars beat the Warriors? Shit, I'm with them. I don't think so. I really don't think so, man, because what Boogie added to that team, it seemed like ever since he came back, I mean, they was already starting to, you know, gel and click together, you know, and get on the roll right before he came back. But as soon as he came back, man, it seemed like they just been unstoppable. So shout out to Boogie Cousins, man, for making a strong comeback, man.
Oh, that's your wing? That's all you got? That's what you got?
That's all.
Man. All right, then. That's what's up. I'm a wing it on this here, man. Actually, it's not really much of a wing. It's not really much of a wing. It's actually it's a poll, man. I got something to show y'all, man. I need to know what y'all are thinking about this. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can share my screen real quick so y'all can see this too. Yeah, let's do this one. So I saw this video, man. These two kids at a 76ers game. They had a little dance off. We gonna see who won this motherfucking dance off, man. We gonna let the listeners, we gonna let y'all determine who won this, man. The little chubby black, chubby white kid, or the little skinny black kid, man. Let me pull this video up so we can check this out. Let's do this here. Bam. And here we go, man. Check this out. What? Where's the sound? There we go.
What the heck?
All right. So I saw that, and I gotta ask y'all. Whoop. Nope. Not again. I gotta ask y'all, man. Who y'all think won that? Little skinny black kid, or the chubby white kid? Or did we win? Cause we got a chance to see that shit. Who y'all got?
We won.
You said what now?
We definitely won.
You said we won.
We won. I think the chubby white kid had more energy.
I gotta go with the chubby white kid too, man. I think the chubby white kid got it because yo, man, it just looked to me like the little young black kid, man. All he had was the Fortnite dances, man. He looked like he was doing everything he saw for Fortnite, man. He ain't had no real repertoire. The white kid was just like, yo, giving him all he had. And on top of that, did you notice the cast on the white kid's arm? That kid was playing hurt. You know what I'm saying? He had the flu game with a dance off, homie. He had the flu game. He had the flu game with a dance off. Cliff, who you got, man?
Who you got? I saw that on the gram. And I was like, you know, that's like the thing to do now is to have some crazy dance off during halftime. You know, I agree. I mean, the young white boy with the cast, yo, for real.
Hold on, somebody said Little Brothers has all the new dance moves down. White looks like he's having a seizure. Hey man, shout out to the listeners. But I'm saying, man, I saw the little black kid, man. I seen him, was like, yo, he did everything he saw on Fortnite, man. He was like, man, I'm gonna pull out all the Fortnite moves, and I got this down. And it looked like the white boy was just pulling everything about his soul. But he was like, hey, man, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm going to just have fun with this. And I think he pulled it off, man. It was his flu game, man, with the cast on his arm, bro.
He got it. We won for getting to see it.
We won for getting to see it. But that's a poll up on the beerandchickenpie.com, man. You guys can go ahead and vote in that poll. Tell us who you think won that one. Was it us for getting a chance to witness that? Or was it the white chubby kid or the black skinny kid, man? Go ahead, vote in that poll and let us know what you think. But we're about to get on up out of here. We appreciate everybody watching on Facebook Live. I think this might be the new home of the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. We can do this on Facebook, bring it to the people where they at already. And but before we get up out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at Beer and Chicken Pod. Let yourself be heard. Hit us up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you guys here as well. Follow us on Instagram. I'm sorry, not Instagram, Twitter. My name is Mr_Span on Twitter. Cliff is DJNF2 on Twitter. Walt is Walt Lockdown on Twitter. Follow us and chop it up with us throughout the week on the Twitter streets, man. Also, hit us up on the website, www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like the whole shebang bang. And you can go there and go to the store, man. Go to the TSRPN store. Get yourself some merch. Get you a coffee mug or something. Get you a, you know, like a hoodie or whatnot. Get you some swag, man. Go ahead and hook yourself up at the TSRPN store, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that as well. But we're about to get on up out of here. Shout out to everybody that was in the chat room. And shout out to everybody who's going to watch us later or listen to this later. We'll talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam. Peace.
I'll be back.
Shit, I'm out.